You're listening to the Horizons Church Podcast.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How's it going today?
I mean, so far so good. I truly have nothing yet to complain about. Could I? If I tried, possibly. It would feel disingenuous, though. I feel pretty good.
That's good. That reminds me of a line I read recently in Thomas A. Kempis's Imitation of Christ.
Do tell.
It's beautiful. It's worth reading. It's weird. I want to be fair. I want to get you out there. It's a medieval text, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
Don't read that. If you any of you pick that up and say, Josiah recommended this book, and it's very Roman Catholic, and lots of stuff about Mary and the saints, and the weird, like, yes.
You've been warned.
But he has this line, and I'm paraphrasing it, of course, but where he's praying, and he says to the effect, Lord, grant me the grace I need today, for I have done well thus far, but the day has not yet even begun.
You know, that's like, great.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah.
That's really good.
Oh, yeah, that's helpful, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. To bring coffee back in, you mentioned recently in a recording the milk and honey blend.
Yeah.
And I just got that in the mail last night.
Yeah.
And had my first cup of it this morning.
What do you think?
Very good. Mm-hmm. What I've discovered is I've been making Americanos.
Yes.
So that particular blend is actually not super strong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed that, but it tasted good.
Yeah.
So don't miss here. It tasted good. But compared to the last blend I had, it actually doesn't stand up super, super great on the Americano front.
Interesting.
Again, it tasted good, and I'm excited to try it again. It's just like, oh, that tastes just a little bit watered down.
Yeah, I
making Americano.
As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, wait, you're making your coffee differently right now. I was curious how that would stand up.
Yes. So tomorrow I'm going to try it just in my rock.
Yeah.
Without
making
Americano. I'm just going to have it straight.
Yeah.
More or less as an espresso.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Because again, I was not disappointed with my coffee this morning. I'm even more excited to see how it tastes. In, you know, because I presume you are making it in your rock
with
milk.
Additives. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm excited. Yeah.
I have a coffee right now, and it's been one of my favorites that I've ever had. We're in top five territory. Like, it's uncannily good.
Mm.
And I'm like really sad to be reaching the end of it. Like, a new coffee is already on the way. It's en route, but it's like, man, it's not going to be as good as this.
Yeah, isn't that tough?
This has been a really wonderful month of coffee.
Unless you discover this new one and you're like, oh my, it shoots into the top five.
That would never be a gift. That would truly be a gift.
Could it happen? Maybe.
Who can say? Who can say?
Who can say? You can when you try it.
We'll see. I'll say soon enough.
Yes, you will. But on another note, continuing a discussion we just had recently, in a recent episode, we talked briefly about how reason is one of the quote-unquote proofs for God's existence.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you can only talk about so much in a 20-minute podcast
episode. Of course, especially when we have to cover some coffee grounds.
Yeah, and when you got to do that, you know, when you got to be talking about coffee. And figuring out, this is coffee A, and therefore B, you know.
Got to reason my way to the best coffee.
That's right. You got to rank out the system there on the tradie boy there. But all that to say is I figured we could come back for just one more episode to deal with a potential pushback. You know, maybe someone listening thought through, or maybe they've dealt with in their own interactions with folks.
Yeah.
So let's suppose, it's just one example, that someone were to say, you guys sure are talking up reason a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and we are, you know, we
do. Big fans.
The Christian tradition has actually, funny enough, had a lot to say about that. So they're like, you know, you're talking up reason a whole lot, but Christians believe some pretty unreasonable things, you know, like the Trinity. You guys talk about this thing, the Trinity. You say there's only one God, but then you say there's three gods. You know, that's nonsense. That's unreasonable. Violates the law of non-contradiction, which says that something can't be A and not A at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's how I would have described it too.
I mean, just like that.
I'll grant we have loads of weird beliefs. I'll grant weird. There's bunches of weird.
Yeah.
I actually really like it.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of those weird things. I find it very fascinating. Or at least, like, it's fascinating until you're like Nicodemus and confronted with something that's confounding, and then it's less fun. But generally speaking, Yes, there are many weird things. Yes. I do like those weird things.
Yes.
I don't necessarily think that's the same as saying unreasonable, but I will grant weird.
Yes, and I think you are onto something there. Other terms like mysterious, humbling,
yeah,
etc.
True.
So like, let's just run with the Trinity as a concrete example.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let's just take that. This, someone, and I've heard this sentiment actually articulated before. Like, well, you say there's only one God, and then you say there's three gods in the same breath.
It's a little bit confusing.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, trying to articulate the doctrine of the Trinity, which I think is the highest theological mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
not in that, we know it. It's been revealed, but like, people have been writing books. You can't see this on the podcast, but I'm holding my thumb and forefinger very wide, yay thick, very, very thick on the Trinity.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, but it is not unreasonable.
Okay.
And to be specific, it doesn't violate anything like the law of non-contradiction, because again, I want to be clear on that. I don't know how many of us are familiar with that term or not. The law of non-contradiction is just the law of reason that says, again, if you are A, you cannot be non-A at the same time and in the same way. And if that's like, that, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Here's another example.
Okay.
I am a son and I'm a father, right?
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, so like my father's name is Quint. My daughter's names are Abby and Anna.
Yes.
So I am a son and I'm a father. I can be a son and a father at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? That's true. I am. I am both of those things.
Yes.
At the same time. What I cannot be is the son of my father and the father of my father.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
That would be a violation.
Right.
Of that particular law of non-contradiction. Right? That makes no sense. You could hear that and like, nope, that doesn't pass the sniff test.
Right.
That's weird. And you don't even need to know what the law of non-contradiction is. Because again, reason is like the air we breathe. When it stinks, we notice. Okay? So, all that to say, does something like the doctrine of the Trinity violate the law of non-contradiction?
I mean, if we thought it did, I don't think we could cause those Christians, strictly speaking.
Right.
Like, that's one of the most popular topics for creative heresy that we've actually covered.
Yes, yes, yes. Many episodes on cults and heresies, we have dealt with this. And of course, what we say is no, because if you know what the doctrine of the Trinity actually is, as the church has articulated it very carefully, whole church councils to make sure we are clear on this, or as clear as we can be.
As clear as a human mind can understand.
The doctrine of the Trinity does not say that God is one God and three gods.
Right.
Like, that would be nonsensical. Mm-hmm. You're correct. The classic formula for the Trinity says that God is one in essence or substance and three in persons. So that may be mysterious, but it does not violate reason.
Mm, okay.
That is a different claim altogether.
Yeah.
Here's the biggest reason that I am grateful for the immaterial laws of reason. They are not only evidence for an immaterial and reasonable God. They not only allow us to communicate with one another and make sense of the world, even across time and culture and space, but they also allow us to lay hold of the truth of God and to see and know Jesus Christ. Because if God was not reasonable, and you and I were not made in his image and also reasonable, we couldn't know God.
Hmm.
The Apostle Paul tells us this very thing basically in 2 Timothy 2:7 when he writes, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything."
I would love to interject a little appreciation here.
Yeah, I love that. Love a little appreciation.
I don't know if there's an element of self-awareness in that verse, and I don't know how this chronologically lines up with 2 Peter, and I think you can know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
I'm thinking, of course, about how we read, like, Paul's letters contain things that are hard to understand, which are twisted by some, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Kind of makes me think Paul had to be aware of that when writing a verse like this in 2 Timothy.
Yes, like, yes, yes. I 100% agree. Because you even take just that letter to Timothy, all right? Paul had been writing some very rich, deep things to Timothy. Things that were inspired by God himself.
Right.
And so his encouragement to Timothy is to keep thinking over and reasoning through what he's said and written, because God will give him understanding, which is an enormous statement.
It really is.
Yeah. And if you're wondering why, how this all relates, because particularly in the church, I think most of us are in danger of falling into one of two categories. You know, here are two ditches on either side of the road. One, everything that we can know about God and his plan and who he is has to be dumped into our brain by the Holy Spirit apart from any effort to think or reason.
Okay.
That would be one ditch. But the second ditch would be the Spirit isn't involved at all. And all we need in order to understand God is reason alone. Like, if I know the laws of reason and I can read, I'm good.
Okay.
I can get this.
Yeah.
And what Paul says is wrong on both fronts. That is incorrect. He says, think over what I say. So just take that one. Give rigorous attention and thought to the words. and the meaning behind the words and how they are relating to one another in the sentence, in the paragraph, mm-hmm. in the book, how it relates to the whole plan of divine revelation, mm-hmm. all of it. And then what will happen? Through the use of thinking and reason, mm-hmm. God will impart understanding. All right, not either or, both and. You prayerfully think hard over and reason through what you're reading, seeing, experiencing. And through your reasoning and thinking, God will give you understanding. And it will comport with reason. It's not going to be this weird, like, you know, back to what we started this episode with, where you're dealing with this pushback, where you Christians believe all these unreasonable things. Like, no, there's a great scene. Just came to me right now. In one of G.K. Chesterton's Father Brown mysteries, yeah. where he sleuths out, there's a thief who's disguised himself as a priest, no one can figure out who this thief is. And it's a great little story. But Father Brown, of course, is talking to this priest, and he knows. He's like, no, this guy's not a priest. He's a thief. And so he starts bantering with him in priest talk. And the guy knows priest talk, so he can do it. But then he makes this fatal error where he's like, well, the mysteries of our faith are beyond all reason. And Father Brown says, wrong. Like God himself is reasonable. So like, you know, and it, like, it's just this great little moment. Right. But like, that's the kind of thing Paul is getting at here. You take all that reasoning and God gives you understanding through it. So like, understanding about him and about Jesus and his free gift of salvation, about sin and evil and the broken condition of the world, like, reason alone does not get you there.
Yeah.
But God working through reason. Yes. Like,
yeah.
And okay. I know that may sound like a little confusing, but like, you know, I'm not saying it very well. But,
no, actually, you know. It's funny because the more we go over like this, the more you explain it, like in different words, the easier it is to get my head around it. And that verse in 2 Timothy is still like kind of rattling around my head. I have some clarifying questions that may help myself and any listeners that are as slow as me. The coffee is not kicked in. Okay, so three possible theories of interpreting that verse, of kind of like reasoning my way through the verse. Ha ha ha.
Okay. You said it.
Option one, these are two independent parts. So reason over this, and also God will grant you the understanding in kind of a magical way. But the issue for me, if I'm going to try to poke holes in this, is the verse says, for the Lord will give you a reason and understanding, not and, which might defeat this idea.
Right.
Option two is an if-then situation. If you think over this, I don't know, God will just kind of like download it to your brain. Which feels weird. It feels like if you take this to its natural conclusion, it's going to start feeling more pagan than Christian. Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. I'll make God do that. And it's like, I don't think so.
I don't think so, buddy.
And then option three, which might be closest, but possibly incomplete, because I'm kind of struggling to find the right words. But like, by the God-given means of reason, we may gain understanding.
Yes, I think that's what you're saying there with all of those. Mm-hmm. You are getting at part of what I'm trying to get at in a much clearer, crisper, concise manner.
It's only because you said it like in three different ways. I'm like, I think I kind of understand it now.
Yes, here's an example. I'll take an ancient one and a modern one. The Pharisees knew their scriptures.
Mm, yeah.
And were able to like reasonably read them. Mm-hmm. You know, like they weren't like making up weird readings out of them.
Yeah.
You know, like there was logic behind their reading. And yet Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And yet it is they that testify about me, and you do not come to me, that you may have eternal life. Mm. So like, it's not that they were unreasonable. It's just that they did not understand what the scriptures were ultimately about.
Right.
Same thing with, okay, take a modern example, a guy like Bart Ehrman, who's a brilliant, I mean, he's just a smart New Testament scholar, mm-hmm. but who's not a Christian. Mm-hmm. He can read the New Testament and understand what it's saying insofar as like, he can read the words.
Yeah.
Like he can pick out what's going on there, but it's the same thing. He doesn't find life in them because he's not reading them with the faith of 2 Timothy 2:7.
Okay.
Where he's expecting like, oh, God's going to give me understanding to understand the mystery of salvation found in Jesus Christ. He's not reading, or the Pharisees weren't reading. And I don't know, I'm starting to mix up my categories a little bit here, but they're all related. But like, there's a difference between employing reason nakedly, if I could use that term, versus reading as a spiritual practice.
Yeah, okay.
Which applies to everything we read. So like when you're reading scripture, right? Like we are reading it as Christians, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
We would not read scripture the same way we would read a pagan myth. So like when I read the Iliad by Homer, I can understand it. Like I get the plot, I get the movement, I get the images, I get the things he is hoping to teach through that poem. And I'm using reason to do it, but that's not scripture, right?
Right.
It's not divinely inspired. Mm-hmm. It is not intended to impart the gospel.
Right.
Now, scripture contains to use Peter's terms, many things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist their own destruction.
Yeah.
But if, as a Christian, you are reading it by faith, if I might use that term, mm-hmm. which faith is not opposed to reason.
Right. That's worth, yeah, it's worth mentioning.
Right? So it's like you're reading it, you're thinking hard over the passages, like you're meditating on them, you're chewing on them, like a good steak, you know? It's like in your thinking, God is going to give you understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to see how the pieces connect and right. what that passage means. And I don't want this to sound like the pagan thing where God does download it, but there is a moment, like you've had those aha moments.
Yeah.
Where it's like, but you don't get the aha moment apart from thinking.
Yeah.
And reasoning.
Right. I am struggling to find some like more precise words.
Yeah. So am I, as it turns out. Like apparently we don't know this quite as well as we think, or it's one of these other, you know, high mysteries.
When I was like, when I hit that like third example, I'm like, I feel like I'm still not capturing this other element of like God's involvement in some way, because I'm not exactly sure what words to use to describe that. Because it's like, you're talking about like academics and people who are scholars, and you can like know many things and understand the context and their intended meaning and the timeline in which they exist, but that's not like the full picture.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm thinking like sometimes like I could be reading, which I'm, you know, I have far less background knowledge, and might find myself able to make a connection or draw conclusions based on something, even though I don't have that same wealth. And
yeah.
it's like somewhere in there I'm like, I'm
right.
nervously attributing something here like to how we read that explained in 2 Timothy.
Right. I think all that is to say, maybe the summary of this matter is, you're not going to get the meaning of Scripture and an encounter with Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. Like, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But he's saying that like as in like when we hear Scripture.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that in some sort of magical, just like, well, like, again, to your idea of the pagan thing, and what Jesus talks about when he's teaching his disciples to pray. He's like, don't be like the pagans who think they're going to be heard for their many words.
Yeah.
Or it's just kind of like this magical, like, oh, yeah, I said the incantation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get that encounter apart from using your God-given reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
Here's the crux. If the eyes of your mind don't see God and all that he is in Jesus, and the result isn't clinging to him and loving him, and then loving your neighbor as a result, all the reasoning ability in the world won't be able to save you in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it is through the laws of reason that God imparts understanding of what he is saying.
Okay, yeah.
And we could take a really almost cheeky example of this, but like, think about what's written in the book of Isaiah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think this gets at both being able to read and understand what the passage is saying, but also how God gives you understanding of it, right? Chapter 1, verse 18 of Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet. Pause there. When we reason together with God, here's what we see, all right? A, my scarlet and crimson red sin separates me from God.
Mm-hmm.
B, I have no way of removing those sins on my own. Therefore, I am going to be separated from God forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that all adds up, unless there's a new chain of reasoning.
Right.
So thankfully, something does change,
yeah,
which is the rest of the verse,
right.
which says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Mm-hmm.
Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. All right. Now, I think anyone who knows how to read English can read that verse and get like, they know the picture, like they can see the pictures.
Yeah, they can follow the logic.
Yeah, they can follow the logic. You can see the image.
Mm-hmm.
But that, apart from knowing that was accomplished because Jesus Christ came, died in our place, rose again, and through faith in his name, washes away the crimson stains of sin and makes them white as snow. That's just a nice little sentiment. It's like, oh, maybe it sounds poetic. Maybe it's like, that's a nice image for things. But like,
yeah.
God means you to encounter his grace. But you're not going to encounter the particular grace of that verse unless you're using your reason to read it and think through it.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, now you get a little formula that sounds like, my scarlet and crimson red sin separates me from God. Jesus, the Son of God, can wash away my scarlet and crimson red sin, make me white as snow. Therefore, through trust in Jesus, I can be restored to God, which is the ultimate aim of that verse.
Right. Yeah.
But you can't get that apart from reasoning and from God giving you understanding through it.
Yeah, okay.
So I think we are touching on something of a mystery here that's hard to encapsulate. I mean,
well,
whole books
like,
have been written on this.
It's,
so
it's both inconvenient and frustrating to have to be like, okay, both are involved.
Yes.
Like, because that's not neat. It's not like tidy.
Right. It's just like, well, I mean, is Jesus God or human?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, well, does God give the understanding or do I have to think about what I'm reading?
Also, yes.
Yes. Like, you know, you get all these things.
Yeah.
That's how so much of the Christian faith works. It's a paradox. It's like things that look like they don't belong together, but they actually do.
Yeah.
And the Christian lives in the paradox. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's that.
Yeah.
Thanks as always for listening. If you have any questions on this or any other topic, which, you know, I mean, I could see a few coming up, you can feel free to email us at podcast@horizonschurch.net. And if you found this helpful mm-hmm. and you want to leave us an honest 5-star review, that'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, we'd love that. You know, write out a nice little logical, reasonable little bit. if you have any hidden meanings in there, we'll try to, you know, pray that we'll have understanding. Yes. So there we have it. Well, thank you as always for listening, and we'll catch you next time.